ringers from the Pleasance, Edinburgh.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. The performance-enhancing drug all Radio 4 listeners test positive for. The headlines again. Following the unexpected departure of Helen Bowden last month, the new controller of Radio 4 was unveiled today.
Hello. My name is Greg Dyke. And I am the new Director General of Radio 4. Now, as you know, the Today programme caused me quite a bit of grief when I was in charge of the whole kit and caboodle. Luckily, I am not a vindictive man. No, I'm only planning the most minor of changes to ensure that Today remains at the cutting edge of current affairs. And I'm sure that its new hosts, Michelle and Stuart from Big Brother, will continue on from where John Humphreys and Andrew Gilligan left off.
But now, on Radio 4, it's time for The Archers, an everyday story of anorexics, gay Irish chefs, homophobic pub landlords, and whining teenagers. Down at Keeper's Cottage, Clary, Eddie, and Joe are having a heart-to-heart about Will, Ed, and Emma.
What Ed did was unforgivable, Clary.
Oh, Eddie! I don't know if it's even right that we should even be talking about any of this.
Why? Because it's all too painful for a mother of bear?
No, Joe, I mean, we shouldn't be discussing this because there aren't enough whining teenagers in this scene. You must know that it's mandatory now that every conversation in Ambridge has to have at least two whining teenagers in it.
I'd not heard that, Clary.
No, me neither.
Well, I'd heard about it, Mrs. Grumbly.
Yeah, no, I have too. We'll just go and stand quietly over there in the corner and be sullen and moody and withdrawn and whiny. You carry on.
You know what the most upsetting part of this is for me, Clary?
Yes, it's the fact that Ed so cruelly deceived us all.
No, it's the fact that he's the only Grundy getting any decent storylines anymore.
Eddie's right. Me and his far-fetched, half-baked scams have been disgracing the Grundy name for over 50 years now, and we're not ready to just step aside so some wet-behind-the-ears teenager can hog all the airtime.
That's why we came up with our plan. Bizarre love triangles of our own. I'm currently enjoying steamy nights of forbidden passion with Caroline Pemberton and Jack Woolley.
Joe, Eddie, when you took me in your powerful arms and held me in the hayloft, I felt as if I was truly alive for the first time in my life.
Aye. And I'm having a three-way orgy involving Linda Snell, my ferrets, and Brian Aldridge's combined armature.
You must be pretty horrified by all this, Clary.
Well, not really. You see, I've been having a torrid three-way love affair of my own.
You have, Clary? With who?
His name's Sven.
Yes, it is me, Sven Goran Eriksson. Half man, half ruthless, unstoppable Swedish sex machine. Please refer to me in future as the Sven Triple X 2000.
But Sven, don't you feel a bit out of place in Ambridge?
Quite on the contrary, Joe. With its multitude of barely believable characters and farcical plot twists, this is exactly like being back at FA headquarters with the board.
My fellow alibis. There has been much criticism of my administration for issuing a number of spurious terror warnings over the summer months. These people could not be more wrong. You should never forget that Al-Qaeda therapists despise the American way of life and everything you and I hold to be queer. I know this for a fact, because I was recently taken into a darkened screening room and shown confidential intelligence tapes that prove that Al-Qaeda agents are already amongst us. One showed an evil, eight-tentacled Al-Qaeda operative codenamed Dr. Octopus climbing a New York skyscraper carrying a defenseless Aunt May. Another shock-a-frying Al-Qaeda tape revealed plans for total world dominatrix. Not to mention the destruction of International Rescue and Lady Penelope. masturbated by the evil Gandhi. But the final tape was by far the most distressing. It told the story of a superhero from the planet Krypton, pretending on Earth to be a mild-mannered journalist. His name, of course, Michael Moore. And he was doing battle with the most evil Al-Qaeda baddie of them all, codenamed George Bush. Now, he really was scary. I nearly dropped my butter-kissed every time he came on the screen. I'm still having to sleep with Mr. Popsy the Rabbit and Donald Rumsfeld to try and stop me having nightmares about him. Remember, only one person can stop George Bush destroying us all, and that is me. God bless Vin Diesel.
Hey, good morning, I'm Gary Lineker. Disproving the theory that nature abhors a vacuum. Welcome to live coverage of the Olympics as we come to the final day of competition and possibly the fastest event of all time, the signing off of the Radio 4 Today programme. We've seen some incredible times this week in practice. Carolyn Quinn wrapping up Monday's edition in a jaw-dropping 4.2 seconds. Rumour has it this morning we could be witnessing a new world record. Isn't that right, Hazel Irvin?
We certainly could, Gary. Conditions are perfect this morning. For a start, there's no Joan Humphreys. Wind conditions are good. James Naughtie's had a very audible burp. And the going is extremely tough, especially since Anne Atkins did thought for the day.
Drama in the first heat when Edward Sturton opened his mouth too quickly and swallowed his own face. And a significant trip in the second when Sarah Montague mispronounced the word editor. Still, it's fast approaching 8:59, so let's go down live to the studio for the race.
Indeed, Gary, and you join us here for an extremely tense final. Some incredible optimism among the presenters. Noctis just asked a brazenly long question, but there's less than 15 seconds left to run. Noctis lining himself up, but I think Sarah Montague will take the lead. They're at the starting line.
Thank you very much, Junior Minister, for joining us. Sarah.
And they're off.
That's all for this morning. John and Carol will be here tomorrow. The editor was Des Fahn, the editor was Lucy Barrett. Thank you very much for listening, and bye.
Hello, I'm Roger Bolton. Welcome to a new series of Feedback. We start this week. Yes, you've guessed it, it's your favourite and mine. It's the incredibly boring technical question. And Mr. Ace Spod of Hemel Hempstead is seething.
As a regular early riser, am I alone in having noticed that the Radio 4 UK theme, which previously was broadcast in the standard 3-to-1 modulated frequency bracket, has since the advent of digital radio been broadcast in the vastly inferior 3-to-0.71 oscillating frequency?
Yes, Mr. Spod, you are alone in noticing that.
Good afternoon, B&Q and H department.
Welcome back from me, Sir Trevor MacDonald. I am the fact homie and I know the word on the street, Trevor from the block. Is that the doorbell shop?
Pardon?
Do you sell doorbells in your store?
What is it you're actually after?
I want a doorbell that simply goes bong.
Bong. Can you pop in to the store because you've got like thousands of different doorbells on offer like in the store for you to pick one?
Thousands of different doorbells, that is indeed a very ambitious claim. What evidence do you have that you have thousands of doorbells?
We've got, like, a whole aisle full of them.
What sort of noise would most of these doorbells make?
It's all different. They play tunes, they bark like a dog, they meow like a cat, or they just ring like a normal bell.
As a doorbell advisor, what type of bell would you tolerate in your own home?
I'd probably pick the one with the dog that barks.
I wonder why. Some of them play tunes?
Yes.
What tunes?
Auld Lang Syne.
But what about all the rest of the year when that tune is irrelevant?
No, they don't play different tunes. They play different ones, like Royal Britannia.
Royal Britannia?
Yes.
I think you might mean Rule Britannia.
Yes. Okay, what you have to do, you have to come into store and speak to our electrician.
But I'm very important and I never leave the studios of ITN. Perhaps I could send along Julian Mannion or Mark Austin to do a report.
Yes, that's fine, not a problem.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. Retired. What have I been doing? Well, I'm enjoying spending more time in the garden, eating slugs, burning cats through a magnifying glass, and pulling the legs off Peter Donaldson. I even went along to Gardener's Question Time last week with a question. I'd like to ask the panel, what's the best way of burying a body under your lawn? I'm not saying I didn't like their advice, but when I left, let me tell you, Bob Flowerdew was having more than a little trouble with his aphids. Right, I'll leave you. I promised Libby Purvis I'll pop round and tend her front lawn. Perkins out.
You're listening to Front Row. I'm Mark Lawson, created by Roger Hargreaves. Some American critics have described the announcement by the makers of The Simpsons that they're going to out one of their characters as being gay as a shameless ploy to boost ratings. However, it turns out they're far from the first cartoon to do this.
Yogi, why is it you never spend time with me anymore?
I don't know what you're talking about, boo-boo.
Oh, I barely see you anymore ever since that new park ranger over there arrived here in Jellystone National Park.
Well, I can't help it if we just happen to share a mutual interest in Broadway musicals. Isn't that right, lovely park ranger Dale?
Oh, you're so right, Yogi, sweetheart.
It's this year's most chilling blockbuster film.
Here we are, Miss AD, TV centre in London, England.
Well, it's certainly nice for Kate AD, one tough lady, to be back home again for good after reporting on all those foreign tragedies.
Kate was a BBC foreign correspondent returning home to the sleepy little hamlet of White City after many years overseas. But almost instantly on her return, she realises something is very wrong.
What's wrong, Kate?
Surely you must have noticed it too, Dermot. It's staring you straight in the face.
To be honest, when I'm slouched like this on the breakfast sofa, the only thing staring me in the face are my rather splendid testicles.
I'm talking about the other women newsreaders here in TV Centre. Fiona Bruce, Natasha Kaplinsky, they're all beautifully groomed, expressionless and, well, spookily perfect.
Kate Eddy stars in The Stepford Newsreaders. Forced to live alongside perfect specimens of womanhood who seem only to exist to cater to the male viewer's every whim and desire. Like Natasha Kaplinsky.
You really shouldn't be wearing that dowdy flak jacket and unflattering combat trousers on air, Kate. What will people say?
But actually, this is the outfit of a proper newswoman.
Now, you should follow my lead and wear one of these beautiful sequin ball gowns. That's what I wear when I dance all evening for the dads on Saturday nights.
No, I won't. I'm a serious journalist, not TV totty. I must raise the alarm. The rest of the news department must be told what's happening.
No, you mustn't do that, Kate. Any woman who refuses to conform is sent away to work with the gargoyles on News 24.
In the film's chilling climax, Kate finds herself transformed from battle-hardened veteran correspondent into a fresh-faced vision of loveliness.
Okay, Kate AD, you are the news droid lovely number 164D. Your official designation shall be Sophie Raworth.
Crumbs. Oh, golly gosh, I hope they don't give me any big, difficult words to say. I'll just have to try and muck in and give it my best shot.
The Stepford Newsreaders, starring Nicole Kidman as Kate Eddy and Brad Pitt as Andrew Marr.
Hey, hello there. It's your old mate, Terry Wogan, there.
What's that? Good old director inquiries that I've phoned this day.
How can I help you?
So then, me old director inquiries, Pixie. How's about you tracking down little number?
No problem. What's the name of the number, please?
So, the name of the number, the number of the name, the name of the number is never all the same. But you've got your old number-searching equipment there, have you?
Yeah.
I wondered if you might want to give me the number of my old friend, the wonderful Mr. Ferdinand Grubknuckle.
Grubknuckle, nope. Nothing for that. Which town is that in?
Could you get me the number of Ferdinand Drobnockle, the fine gnome polisher in Gilligarry?
Gilligarry. How are you spelling Gilligarry? How are you spelling that, please?
Oh, it's...
The town. I need the spelling of the town.
The spelling of the town, old Gilligarry. Well, you've got the G, the I, the double L and the Y. And then the Gary bit. Hey, think of Mr. Lineker and stick another R in it.
OK. I'm getting no listings for this.
What are you telling me, sir, that old Gilligarry's an old mystical land that doesn't exist anymore?
I think so, yeah.
Simply sublime, wasn't it? All 3 hours and 17 minutes of Mendelssohn at his very best. It's just the sort of music you'd expect to hear me play at Radio 3. Except, you see, I'm not at Radio 3 anymore. Oh no, that place was far too raucous. The very thought of all those hundreds of listeners up and down the country, clinking their spoons as they stir their cups of cocoa, reading rustly newspapers and breathing in and out in an audibly stentorian fashion, makes me feel quite ill. So I found a new home, somewhere far quieter and away from the prying ears of listeners. Oh, yes. It's Radio One. Here at Radio One, I can do or say anything and play whatever I like, save in the knowledge that no one is listening anymore. BBC Radio One. Quiet, isn't it? Now here's a Sinatra and Fugue in D minor, performed by Busted.
Hello and welcome to Today with me, John Humphreys.
And me, any one of the number of totally interchangeable female co-presenters who will never even come close to filling Sue McGregor's size 5 stilettos.
Exactly, so be quiet now, woman. As the race intensifies for the White House in November, many Democrats are disappointed that their candidate, John Kerry, still lags behind Bush in the polls. Mr. Kerry joins us on the line now from New England.
Well, it's nice to get this chance to speak to the British people, John.
Now, it's been suggested, Senator, that your campaign is faltering because you're standoffish, you have a strange chin, and you lacked a coherent vision of America that's needed to beat George Bush.
Well, yes, John, they may well say that, but that's just what the doubters said, you know, before I took Coventry. Cincinnati from the 3rd to the 1st Division in the mid-60s.
Senator, isn't the real reason you're struggling because you're actually just Jimmy Hill in a wig?
Is it that obvious? Well, yes, it's true, John. It is me. You see, I couldn't face covering another Premiership season on Sky with lots of, you know, foreign players whose names I couldn't pronounce. So, you know, I sort of got to thinking, you know, what is the best way for me, Jimmy Hill, to spice up the twilight years of my life? And then it came to me. I'd become the most powerful man on Earth.
Right, so that's when you decided to run for president?
No, that's when I applied for the job as Chelsea manager.
So, if you are elected in November, Jimmy Hill, what plans have you got to sort out the mess in Iraq?
Well, John, you know, I do sort of favour the old sort of, you know, 4-2-4 formation, four across the back there, and then sort of, you know, kind of pushing forward and sort of taking the play very much to the insurgents at the end of the day.
Well, it's a lot more sensible than anything Bush and Rumsfeld have come up with so far.
Are you a regular listener to programmes such as Today, You and Yours, The Archers, Midweek, Home Truths and Quote Unquote? then perhaps you're not aware of a new service available to listeners of Radio 4. It's called Not Listen Again. The Not Listen Again facility can be accessed via windows, or alternatively the doors of your house. You can get more information on Not Listen Again by going to bbc.co/-thepub.com.
Hello.
Robbie Williams, it's Ozzy phoning you, man.
Hello, and it's a really bad line, I can hardly... Is that Ozzy Osbourne?
Of course it's Ozzy Osbourne. Listen, man, what are you doing, man?
Honestly, nothing, mate. Just you know, chilling out, just sat here.
You know, I'll come round.
What, do you want to come over, mate? Do you have for a coffee and that?
It'd be good to see you.
It'd be good to see you, and all today where we are.
Yeah, of course I do.
Yeah, all right, man, come over.
I just want to get out of the house. So I'll see you in a minute. I don't know how long did it take to get to your place?
From where you are, about, I don't know, 40 minutes. Half an hour, 40 minutes.
You're still in that West Hollywood place, the one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't.
What's up, man?
I've just remembered I'm in Birmingham.
And with everyone in the Archers having revealed they're having an affair, Linda Snell has admitted she's also been seeing someone, a man who lives in the next programme.
Linda, let me take you away from Ambridge. You'd be happy in front row.
Oh, no, Mark, face it. Ours is a forbidden love that can never be. The Archers and front row will always be divided by the theme tune and the credit for the agricultural story editor.
But front row is the perfect show for a woman of your class and breeding. We've got the latest gallery openings, film news and a retrospective at the Tate of the works of David Hockney.
No, Mark, we're from different worlds. I'm a 7 p.m. girl and you're a 7:15 guy. My love will always be for amateur dramatic productions that fall apart in a comically clichéd way.
No problem. We do cover the Royal Opera House too, you know.
Mark, you just don't get it, do you? The answer's no, I'm sorry. It's just a matter of class. I didn't want to have to say this, Mark, but this whole time I've been using you. You see, I just wanted a bit of rough to hang off my arm to impress the Portchester players.
Oh, I get it now. That's all I ever was to you, a beautiful bauble to dangle off your arm. Well, for your information, Linda, I've been seeing someone else in the village behind your back, and they're all too happy to come back with me to my show. Isn't that right, Precious?
Certainly is, Buttercup.
Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, the mad uncle in Radio 4's attic. And it's my pleasure to welcome you all, not just our listeners in this country, but also throughout the world, the galaxy, the universe, and indeed every universe, to the game where you have to talk ceaselessly without hesitation, deviation, or repetition, just as I do in this introduction to the programme, which seems to get longer and longer every time I do it, until one day I will surely get to the point where by the time I've welcomed our listeners, explained the rules, and lavished all the adjectives I know on our four funny, talented, erudite, handsome, rectangular, and sesquipedalian players of the game, I will have been talking for so long, it'll already be time for me to announce the scores. Thank Janet Staplehurst, Ian Messiter, who created the programme, the producer, the audience, my parents, my agent, and the Academy for this wonderful award. And by the time I've done all that, it'll only remain for me to say thank you and tune in next time we take to the air to play Just a Minute.
Hello and welcome to the South Bank Show. I'm Melvin Bragg. Crisp, nutty hairstyle on the outside, chewy caramel mucus on the inside. This week we're paying tribute to the pioneering work of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. They're perhaps best remembered for their eerily effective music for Doctor Who. I spoke to one of the workshop's founder members, Jonathan Gershfield.
Well, the unusual noises we take for granted couldn't be made by ordinary instruments. Then this thing came along that revolutionised the way we perceive sound.
Fascinating. What is it called?
Well, in simple layman's terms, it's called a Robin Cook. Now, I'm just going to twist the knob and let's give you a quick burst.
Was it easy in the baby front?
Using his vintage Robin Cook, Jonathan then showed me how the famous Doctor Who theme was created.
We simply asked Robin Cook to elaborate at length as to his views of an expanded European Union.
Fascinating. So, how did you get the high-pitched sound?
Yes, that was a challenge at first, but then one day, quite by chance, we happened to mention in passing to Robin that all these secretaries in the BBC typing pool were turned on by ugly ginger men with beards. And Melvin, the rest is history. We simply fused the two sounds together.
Radio 4 has announced plans for a brand new weekly personal essay from the United States, one it hopes will emulate the long-running success of Alistair Cook's Letter from America. Its host will be another long-time English expat, famous for his slow, halting delivery.
Good evening.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Coleshaw, Jan Ravens, Kevin Connolly, Mark Perry and Phil Cornwell. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fountain. John Holmes, John Coleshaw, John Finnemore, Paul Powell, Colin Birch and Richard Ward. The producer was Katie Tyrrell. It was devised by Bill Dare.